Good day and welcome to another edition of The Front Page on Morehead State Public Radio. I'm your host, Chuck Mraz. Today we're joined by Republican Jill York. She is the 96th District State Representative, which means she represents Lewis, Lawrence, and Carter counties. And Jill, thanks so much for spending time with us today on The Front Page.
Happy to be with you, Chuck. Always enjoy talking with you.
Well, let's talk about the 2017 legislative session. It will be a historic session because Republicans now control the House for the first time since 1921. Also, they control the Senate and the governor's office. So this could be a very interesting session, to say the least.
Well, it will. It will be. I suspect that as the Commonwealth watches, they'll see that, you know, there's going to be some tuning up of old procedures. I think a renewed sense of vigor in making sure that we, in a very timely and efficient fashion, get down to taking care of the people's business when we arrive in January.
Has the GOP been working on plans for what it might do in the 2017 session here in the last several weeks?
We have, actually, and it's been a refreshingly collaborative process, which I would have expected that it would be. That's the way that decisions have been made within our caucus has always been to kind of look at the leadership and the expertise and skills that we have within the caucus, get everyone's feedback on that, and reach a consensus on what we think that we need to pursue as a group. So over the course of the last several weeks, we've been meeting and actually doing some polling of our group kind of internally and determining, you know, how all of our very diverse districts fit together into the whole and what might be our priorities moving forward.
Well, of course, Republicans have elected a new House Speaker and taken control of the chamber. Greg Stumbo, the Democrat who'd held control for several years, lost his election. And tell us about your new Speaker and your thoughts about his leadership.
And, of course, we're very excited to now have Jeff Hoover as our Speaker-elect. I suppose he won't be official until we arrive in January and kind of seal the deal on that process as a group. But Jeff has always been the sort with a sort of quiet stoicism and leadership that he is collaborative, but then he also is willing to take the point, is willing to go very graciously and make sure that all of our resources and time is spent in all the right areas as we move forward. He has, since he's become Speaker-elect, he has absolutely stepped up to the challenge and has really embraced it in a way that is refreshing. What we have noticed in the past is that when you thought about the House of Representatives, basically it was all Speaker Stumbo's voice that you heard anytime that any of that was talked about. It was always, and the Speaker says. Now, while we will still have that moving forward, I believe that there will be a lot more emphasis on knowing that perhaps more than just the Speaker shares a sentiment when you hear something, pronouncement made from the Speaker's stand.
Jill, I'll ask you this question. I know that some Republicans had complained rather in the past about Greg Stumbo in terms of his leadership as being more iron-fisted and unwilling to bend in terms of maybe some of the proposals put on the table by the GOP. Would you see Jeff Hoover as a guy who might be a little bit more gracious in that area?
I absolutely would see him as such, and he's actually shared that very publicly and in a lot of the comments that he's made since the election has taken place. As far as he is concerned, and I believe that this is something that we in the former minority caucus would agree to, ideas are ideas, and they should stand within their own merit. It should not be a determining factor on whether that was a Republican idea or a Democrat idea in order for it to be vetted by a committee or brought forward for the entire body. So I believe that a lot of the impediments to all ideas coming forward that might benefit the Commonwealth are going to be gone from us. It's going to be the merit of the solution, the merit of the plan, the merit of the idea, rather than what little initial stands beside the sponsoring member's name.
It sounds to me like you're saying that The Republicans in both the House and the Senate consider Democrats now to be their partners. It's not one of those things, oh boy, we're in power now, now we can get even.
Exactly. You know, I've only served 6 years, but within that time, you begin to understand that, perhaps the openness did not necessarily run both ways. There were some procedures that did not get followed, some things in the rule book that, you know, got set aside or were not paid a lot of attention to. I believe that what folks across the Commonwealth will come to be able to appreciate about the new control of the House is that you'll be able to follow it. You'll be able to see the rationale behind it. If you come to the session and sit down and are there at 2 o'clock when we're about to begin business, you'll notice that we absolutely do begin business and that we respect everyone's time for being there with us and respect the absolute confidence that our constituents have put in us by sending us down there to take care of things. I hope that we will never again find ourselves pressing way too many bills through in the urgency to meet the pressing deadline of the end of session. I hope that we see steady and thoughtful workflow from day one all the way through session's close.
Well, now that Republicans have control of the legislature, I guess the challenge now is, after years of trying, is now that you've gotten control, make something happen for the people of Kentucky, and that's, I guess, what you have to do at this point.
It is, and with that, there's a great burden, of course, when you are in the minority party, you have a certain bit of leeway in that you're able to rail against the folks that are in charge, and yet at the same time recognize that perhaps every idea you come with won't be one that that may bubble up to the top and have actual consideration, which means on occasion, you know, there's legislation that is filed that is only intended to look good, not actually proceed through the process. As members of the majority party now, all of us GOP members in the House have a new responsibility. As majority party members, when we put something on the table for consideration, it is in a spot where it can come up in committee and it can be voted on. It may very well happen because of the numbers and the new makeup there. And so we have to be deliberate in our actions. We have to, consider the scope of the ramifications from one end of the state to the other. It now becomes more about what is doable for us rather than what is theoretically possible.
Well, you have a leadership position now in the House, correct?
I do. I'm excited. I'm going to be the chairman of one of the A&R budget subcommittees.
Well, tell us a little bit about that panel and what you'll be doing.
Well, it's rather a lengthy description. Someone laughed and said that if I put it on a business card, it might have to be twice the size. It actually is the Appropriation and Revenue Budget Review Subcommittee for Economic Development, Workforce Investment, Public Protection, and Tourism and Energy. Now, what that lengthy title means is that I will be chairing the committees wherein the cabinet officials, heads, budget folks will be coming before us and making their pitches about what they hope will be included in the biennial budget. And we will, we'll be vetting what they bring before us. We'll bring scrutiny to it. We'll do the questioning that we can. And basically, it's going to be an important building block in creating that close to $22 billion budget that will be on our desk to do in a short 2 years.
With a title like that, you don't need a business card. I think you need a billboard.
that's been what I'm told. It's an exciting opportunity, though, because, especially for our region, Chuck, when you think about we're working, many of our communities are working on improving their workforce. We're kind of tooling up for more and renewed pushes in economic development. And, of course, then again, we have the beautiful parks and outdoor adventure tourism opportunities that we have here in Rowan and Carter and Lawrence. And so, all of that is going to be components that I'm already familiar with, but that hopefully I'll be able to bring some leadership to and help with the insight and good decision-making as we move toward the budget.
Has Governor Matt Bevin told Republican leaders in the legislature what types of things he wants worked on during the 2017 session?
He has been very, very open with us, but I think he's been pretty much open with the Commonwealth all the way through. If you've been following his remarks since he's been governor, he's had a pretty steady drumbeat of making the aims that he's pushing for very, very transparent. He's got a lot of the I would say Republican core base ideas that are included in there, a lot of social issues that are close to at least Republican voters' hearts. But you know, we're in a conservative part of Kentucky, so don't be surprised that we're not going to pay attention to honoring veterans, that we're going to honor life and pro-life initiatives and things like that. But then also the major component moving forward is going to be about economic development and growth and creating and stimulating jobs within the Commonwealth.
You've probably heard this before, but there are Democrats already out there saying that Republicans in the legislature will simply only act as a rubber stamp for Governor Bevin's policies, and I want you to respond to that.
Well, and I can understand that being the first knee-jerk impulse that you would have, because when you have all three branches of power to be sort of on the same side of the aisle, then you begin to think that once an idea pops up somewhere, that it'll be shoved along with great vigor. What I can say about that is that once again, the members in the House are a very diverse diverse group, and there's 100 of us that are representing the entire state. And so when you get us all together, even though our districts may be 100 miles apart, they can have very, very different kind of thoughts about how we should proceed on many of these issues. I suspect that we will be vocal. We will have a lot of open and frank discussion about what works, and I expect that to be carried out in the decision making that we make as a whole. And I suspect that Speaker-elect Hoover will respect that for us and allow us to do that. Now, as far as being a rubber stamp, I don't believe that we've ever been a rubber stamp for anything, at least within the caucus that I serve with. We've got a very deep bench of really smart people who come from a lot of walks of life and bring a lot of expertise to the discussion. So I believe that the same sort of scrutiny and vetting and a healthy dose of skepticism will be brought to any initiative that's brought to us, whether it comes from, Representative Jill York or Representative Joni Jenkins or from Governor Matt Bevin. They all deserve the same sort of litmus test and the same sort of scrutiny. We want the best ideas to be the ones that get passed and come into law.
Again, we're talking to State Representative Jill York. She's a Republican from Grayson. We'll continue our discussion on Front Page right after this.
There are many ways to connect with Morehead State Public Radio. Log on to WMKY.org for enhanced regional news, on-demand audio and video, breaking news from NPR, and information on your favorite programs. Get links to Facebook and Twitter while you listen to our live broadcast online, or download mobile apps from NPR and take 90.3 FM with you everywhere. Connect with your community and Morehead State Public Radio. Visit WMKY.org.
Welcome back to today's Front Page. I'm Chuck Morales. Talking with State Representative Jill York. She represents the 96th District here in northeastern Kentucky. And Jill, as we look ahead to the 2017 session and some of the things that Republicans might be taking on as they look at their list of agenda items, I know number one, at least on Governor Bevin's plan, or at least on his agenda, is perhaps tax reform. Is that something that will be dealt with in your mind?
I believe that the initial steps toward tax reform will absolutely come up during the short session. The difficulty with that is a very wide-ranging and deep-running concept. Now, where we are benefited is that there have been a great many panels put together over time that have looked at the issue and a lot of data for us to wade through where it's concerned. So that's a good start on that, but it is a rather weighty issue. I can suspect that we may begin the processes of hammering out that which should happen if we are going to revamp our tax code and bring it forward from its very antiquated, mostly based on an agrarian economy that in most cases of the state is no longer relevant, and bringing it forward to something that is a better fit to our current century, to the way that we do business, that would be friendly to businesses who would want to locate in Kentucky, and also honor our stewardship of the dollars that we receive from our citizens. I do believe it will be a priority. I think most of the heavy lifting can begin during this session, but it is most likely that perhaps an opportunity for us to get together, perhaps in a special session or push it to the budget year, is probably when we would see it get the most play.
I've heard some talk about possibly lowering the state income tax as part of this, or maybe eliminating it. Is that still something that could happen? Is that a possibility?
I believe that that is. I believe that, a lot of data about what would allow the economy to thrive, to allow our citizens to be able to have a little bit more money in their pocket, but also provide the state with a stream of revenue to be able to provide the services that, of course, we are expected to be able to share with our citizens is the key. Now, how we set up that new code moving forward, are we going to eliminate some taxes? I've heard talk of flat taxes. There's a lot of different proposals out there, and what's going to be interesting now as members of the majority party is we're going to have a lot more access to that data to be able to, have the full-time consideration of our LRC analysts and budget gurus, so to speak, as we go forward. It really, really helps to be able to ask for resources and get them when you need them, when you're working with these thornier issues. And since Governor Bevin has been in charge, that has been easier for us. I suspect it will just get easier now that we're in the majority.
I guess you have to be careful with this, too, in the sense that you're still looking to pay off millions of dollars in debt that's been accrued by the state pension systems.
Exactly. We have quite a burden there that is still worrisome and quite frankly troublesome and frightening to those folks that are within our pension systems. Most people may not realize that I believe it's There's six or seven different pensions that are affected by this. Of course, the ones that we hear the most about are our county workers and, of course, our retired teachers. And so that is undergoing a pretty thorough audit at this point in time, which is something that Governor Bevin authorized and put people on back earlier in the year. And so what we're looking at is, I think, an end of December due date, which means it'll be one of the first things that we're able to pick up and begin analysis of when we arrive in January. But quite frankly, Chuck, the continued attention to our pension problems, for me, should be our number one priority moving forward. We've made efforts to shore it up. We've made efforts to make sure that we more fully fund the portion of it that is required to keep it solvent. But the hole is so deep and vast right now that we need to make sure that we're got an all-hands-on-deck approach and are absolutely making the best choices to make sure that we get out of the red zone and into something that gives people peace of mind about their retirement.
The governor has talked a little bit about right to work, and for those unfamiliar, that just means that right now in Kentucky, if there's a union shop, you're forced to join the union to take a job inside that shop. And what they, if you get right to work passed, what happened there is that you could take a job inside a place and you'd have the choice whether or not to join the union. Is this something that could come up, and maybe what form might it take?
I believe that it is out there. It's in. It's certainly been within public consciousness over the last few years for folks that are kind of following the state at large. There have been counties across Kentucky that have brought forward their own initiatives at the county level. Some of that's resulted in some lawsuits to determine whether or not that was possible. Could they become right-to-work counties? But proponents of it say that it is good for business. It's a good recruiting tool. When you're recruiting nationally, that that big employers, big industry, feel that having that right to work state status is something that they prize, and they look for locations that have that. Folks that are not so fond of it, from the working side of things rather than from the industrial corp side of things, feel like that it is a dampener on wages, and it forces wages down, and so that it might hurt the workers themselves over the course of the right to work initiatives being in place. It is probably within the first top 10 or so items that I have heard bandied about. Those are, you know, things like the governor's current red tape reduction initiative that's out there. For me, it's always going to be transparency and the pension issues. Those are both kind of high on the list. I've heard tort reform. I've heard pension reform, tax reform, all of those sort of things, as well as furthering our audits and getting our financial house in order. Now, those are all just discussion topics and things that are on our radar. As far as telling you what's going to be House Bill 1, 2, and 3, and 4, I could not begin to hazard a guess.
Cities and counties have been pushing the last number of years to try to get the local option sales tax proposal passed. And again, for those not aware of what that is, it allows local municipalities to enact a tax to pay for a project if voters in the area agree that they want that tax, and once the project is, that tax goes away. And I know that it hasn't passed yet, although it's gotten closer to passage here in the last couple of sessions. What do you think the future of that might be?
It's one of those initiatives that keeps coming back, keeps getting further refined, and as you mentioned, keeps gaining support to it. It actually, when you talk about tax issues, and people are quite reluctant to talk about tax issues, it actually has more local controls built into it than just about any other tax initiative you will ever hear us talk about at the state level. Because if it were to pass as an initiative at the state level, what it would actually do was it would enable local municipalities to indeed put initiatives on a local ballot to ask their local citizenry, do you believe that Project A, where we want to build whatever, is something that you would be willing to part with a percentage of sales tax toward up until the point that we fund it, and then it goes away. And so, you know, you talk about great local participation then. Each citizen would have a chance, each voter would have a chance to weigh in on whether or not they thought it met the threshold. And if it did, then they would literally be able to help choose the projects that they helped pay for locally. So while most folks are off-put at the concept of any new taxes whatsoever, in those parts and plans where the revenue stream is critical and you won't have it unless you have something like that in place, it really is a provision that allows the most local control.
Do you support it?
I have my counties that do, yes, and my municipalities that do, some that are really, really right in the next door to Moorhead around there are interested in that. I've received resolutions about it. It has not been something that we have had to vote on yet, and I'm always hesitant to say that I support something until I read the latest proposal for it, because the devil is truly in the details when it comes down to our bills and pieces of legislation. But I do see its merits. But my take on most of these things is to lead with the sentiment from the folks at home. So yes, it does have support within the 96th district.
Hey, Jill, thanks so much for being with us on the Front Page. Appreciate your time and good luck in the 2017 session.
Thank you so much, Chuck. Always a pleasure to talk with you and your listeners there at the Front Page. Appreciate your advocacy and letting people know what we're thinking about.
Again, that's Republican State Representative Jill York from Grayson. I'm Chuck Mraz on Front Page. We'll see you next time.